Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it am talking about, and we are happy to be with you tonight. We go anywhere we can possibly go, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to bring to you what? I was going to say the right, the wrong, but I found out this weekend there's new research on talk radio. And if, believe it or not, there's new research on talk radio, and all of the things that talk radio, traditional talk radio, which is not what we do here, but all the stuff that traditional talk radio likes to beat into the ground endlessly, nobody cares about. Sure, some of the, you know, the handful of people that listen to that stuff and live and die with it, but no one cares. People are no longer living and dying with every political point of view that, you know, Obama sucks or the conservatives suck or something. People are now into the broader and bigger and deeper and heavier and weightier things in life. And that's what we like to bring to you. For instance, tonight, we're going to be talking about Jerry Sandusky and whether or not Dave Oliva used to huff paint.
All right.
Thank you. So that's pretty heavy. That's later on. And also, we're going to be getting into the Lowe's situation. You know this story about Lowe's? Lowe's is a home improvement, a Home Depot-style store. I don't want to call them Home Depot. They are not. They are Lowe's. And I'm sure you're very familiar with them. They pulled their advertising from a TLC channel program called All American Muslim, a television show that was about American Muslims. And Lowe's pulled their advertising from this. It's a very curious decision. We're going to have on Brad Rifkin, who is an advertising consultant and owns his own advertising agency in Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk about that and other decisions here in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhenryshow.com at our on our videocast, which is Phil TV in HD, as we are six nights a week. Last night, we were not on our videocast for reasons having to do with other jobs, other work that we were doing, but we're back up there tonight. We gave away a shot glass in our pre-show, as a matter of fact, to someone who answered a question about Bobby Dooley's circle of taste. In fact, there's a new Bobby Dooley blog up there. But it's all there at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and be a part of our family. All right, Brad Riffin's going to join us. Before he does, let me give you some background. You may not know this story. There's so much that's going on. And I do not expect people, you know, this is not, it's not your job, guys. It's my job. I want to just bring this to your attention. Lowe's, a place that you may visit. Lowe's pulled its advertising from a TV show on TLC. My understanding is that stands for, what does that stand for?
Tender Love and Care.
No, it doesn't. What is it, Robert?
I think it's like the, tender as a mother's heart.
Tender as a mother's heart?
Tender as a baby's ass.
Get out of here with that tender as a baby's ass. It's the Learning Channel.
Oh!
Yeah. The Learning Channel has a program. It's called American Muslim. Now, the conservative group that got Lowe's to pull its ads from this reality show has been fighting for more than two decades against gay rights, strip clubs, and a lot of other things that Christians or traditionally conservative Christians are against. It's called the Florida Family Association. That, at least, is what is the claim here by Associated Press. The Miami Herald also indicates that. But when it comes to Lowe's hot button, we can get into that later, but when it comes to Lowe's hot button decision to pull out of its advertising from the TLC program, All American Muslim, few can claim Nazir Hamzi's unique perspective on the matter. An executive director of Florida's chapter on the Council on American Islamic Relations, Hamzi is among the state's most high-profile Muslims. So there's that. Because Council on American Islamic Relations is not very well loved by some on the right, and some on the left are not big fans of the Florida family. So you've got two extremes there. But the show, American Muslim, ostensibly is to show people and is about Muslims who are Americans. And we do have people who practice Islam and have been born here in the United States and raised here in the United States. It may not be a whole lot of folks, but then there is freedom of religion. Nonetheless, Lowe's pulled its advertising, and to tell us a little bit about that and to give us a little bit of a background and, on the advertising wars from Las Vegas is Brad Rifkin. Good evening, Brad. How are you?
Hey, good, Phil.
Now, Brad, do you know this group? Do you know this Florida Family Association? I mean, the people that supposedly...
No, I don't know them.
The people that are supposedly in that helped encourage this boycott?
No, I don't know them. I am familiar with, of course, Lowe's, but I don't know any of the principals when it comes to the boycott, the pulling of this, this commercial, which has led to, by the way, the fact that, not commercial, but the fact that Lowe's has pulled its advertising from... support of this program, and I don't know...
What did they pull their advertising from the entire channel or just from this show?
My understanding is just taken from the production itself, All American Muslim, and not from TLC. So I think that they're still pretty much doing business with TLC, but it's a decision that they took... They have drawn criticism from leaders in the Muslim community, I know. There's other people that are suggesting now, and this is what I was going to say to you, to boycott the store.
So there has been people talking about boycotting Lowe's.
Yeah. By the way, Lowe's is based in North Carolina. The company, last I read, said it's planning to stick by its decision after the show became, quote, a lightning rod for people to voice complaints from a variety of perspectives, political, social, and otherwise. Now, here's what Lowe's is basically saying. They're saying it's not good for our company to be involved in any show that is a lightning rod for controversy, because then we become associated with that controversy, and we become the focal point for people to take out their... aggressions or misgivings, and they take about in the company, you see. So that is their decision. As an advertiser, what I do, or as a consultant in advertising, what I do then is I say this has opened up a big door for Home Depot, for Do It Center, and for these others.
Why is that?
Because Lowe's now has said, Lowe's has taken a political stand, whether they like it or not. Whether they want to be a focal point for this thing or not, they are. So they have taken a stand, and they are a lightning rod, whether they like it or not. So now people have got opinions about Lowe's that are good, bad, or indifferent, but they're very controversial. Meanwhile, Home Depot, Do It Center, Osh, and these other companies are going to make out like bandits, because there's bound to be a boycott, which I think there is already a boycott of Lowe's on the part of people that support the TV program and Muslims, Arab Americans, however you want to, you know, portray these people. By the way, the Learning Channel, a spokeswoman by the name of Lori Goldberg, said the show, which airs Mondays on TLC and ends its first season January 8th, has garnered a little over 1 million viewers a week.
Is that a successful... I guess on that channel it is, huh?
On TLC, that's pretty good, yeah. This guy, Caton, said he targeted the show because a recent poll on his website found that the spread of Islam in America was the number one concern, more than homosexuality and pornography.
So, and how many people voted? So, as we all know, when you vote on vote in a poll on a particular website that has a political agenda, you're going to get people that agree with you.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's hardly scientific, it's hardly representative, but nonetheless, how many people did they say voted?
I think about 1,800, he says. So it's. I don't think that Lowe's, personally, just if you're asking me, I don't think Lowe's has made a very smart decision here by boycotting this show. I think whether they want to be a lightning rod or not, they've made themselves a lightning rod. And there are other home improvement, home supply places that can benefit. So I would advise that Home Depot and Osh and the rest of them step in to the breach and say, we're the place to go because Lowe's has decided to, and I wouldn't hit it too hard because you got to understand, you want people to be your customers. But if I was...
If you were Home Depot or you were, you know, Orchard Supply, how would you present your advertising?
My advice is this. You say, we are Home Depot. We are not going to cause any problem. You say it in a certain number of words. This isn't it, but you say, we're Home Depot. We don't hate anybody. You know, we love everybody. Make it so you don't hate anyone, because the perception, and I know that Lowe's doesn't hate anybody, but if you're Home Depot, you want people to believe that Lowe's hates people. And
so, all right, so this is interesting, because what you're saying is Home Depot, Osh, these guys should sort of stick it in Lowe's a little bit and twist it.
Well, you know, that's a tough way of saying it, but...
Well, when you say that we're Home Depot and we don't hate anyone...
I would say that what they should do... Right. You don't want to come out and say Lowe's is bigoted against Arabs or Lowe's is bigoted against Muslims. You want to say, we're Home Depot. We're not. You don't say anything about Lowe's. We're Home Depot. We have no problem with people. We're Home Depot. We got no problem with people. That's what I would say. The other thing that I would do is I would try to get somebody into the offices of Lowe's who represents himself as one of these people, this Caden, one of these guys, represents himself, let's say, as somebody who's opposed to Mexicans or something, and try to get Lowe's to boycott a couple more shows, because right now they have opened the door. And
well, Lloyd, you think it's likely that Lowe's is going to do that, though, Brad? Because here's the thing.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. They've already gotten they're dealing with a lot of publicity having to do with this American Muslim show, okay?
Yeah.
So why would they want to bite off even more bad publicity? Well, or maybe it's not bad publicity.
I don't think they think it's bad publicity. They're sticking by their decision. If they thought it was bad publicity, they would change the decision. I don't think they do. I think they feel that they are representing a very middle American point of view. So if I'm Home Depot or I'm Amash, I want to see them continue doing this, because it's obviously not very smart. I would get someone into their office and represent myself as somebody who is very concerned about a certain show that they're advertising in, and it has to do with, let's say, immigration, or it has to do with gays, and get them to pull their advertising from a couple of more shows.
Well, now you're talking about some kind of subterfuge, or it's almost like corporate espionage.
Well, it's not a games play. It's not really. I'm not representing myself as being from Home Depot, see. I'm just saying that...
Well, you're going in there and representing yourself falsely.
Well, but I'm going in there. I may be representing myself falsely, but I'm not saying, hi, I'm from Home Depot, and I want to screw you guys up even more. You say, did you notice your commercials are airing in a show that has gays or has an immigration point of view, but it's terrible, and I got a bunch of signatures, and get them nervous about it, because they're already very nervous. And
so what you're doing here is you're counseling that Home Depot and Orchard Supply and Do It Center and all these other home supply companies take advantage of Lowe's bad publicity and make it worse.
Yes, I mean, make it worse. They are what they are. You're not going to make it worse. You're going to exploit something they already do. Lowe's has shown themselves to be guys that will pull their advertising from shows that have to do with, minorities or whatever you want to call it.
But if I'm with Lowe's, I'm saying you're completely misrepresenting. If I'm with Lowe's, I say we are pulling our advertising from a show that we feel is not American or doesn't represent American values.
Well, if that was true, then you wouldn't have this controversy, but you do, and that's because there's a lot of people disagree with it. So if I'm a Home Depot or whoever, I hire a guy like Brad Rifkin, I go in there, and I pretend like I'm a guy that's against gays and you really get Lowe's to go out on the edge against not only Arabs and Muslims, but also gays and Hispanics, and the next thing you know, they're out of business, because what you've done is you've leveraged them into these political issues, which they didn't want to be leveraged into.
All right, Brad Rifkin with us. It's what a business, man, that you're in.
Well, I'm not, no, Phil. It's called strategy. It's called strategy.
All right, Brad Rifkin with us here from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas as we talk about the Lowe's boycott, the Lowe's pulling its ads, I should say, from this American Muslim TV show. And a lot of people are questioning whether that was, what's that about? I mean, American Muslim is a television program that is about Americans who are Muslims. Lowe's, apparently under the influence of some people on the right, thought it was about more than that. Our number, anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Truth is our bitch, the Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
We're getting a view at the into the world of advertising with Brad Rifkin. And why are we doing that? Because Lowe's, which is one of the more popular home supply companies in America. We go there, we buy, I don't know, lumber, we buy plumbing equipment, we buy lighting for our homes. Lowe's has pulled its advertising from a show called All American Muslim because the company believes that the show is too much of a lightning rod for controversy. Well, the lightning rod for controversy was started by this group called the Florida Family Council, and it's really sort of an anti-Muslim group, which Lowe's has found itself wrapped up with. Brad Rifkin has joined us, and Brad, you are saying basically it's a great time to take advantage of Lowe's misstep if you're Home Depot, Osh, or Do It Center.
Yeah, because, again, what you got to remember, Phil, is that Home Depot and Osh and Do It Center and some of these other companies, right now they're watching Lowe's shoot themselves in the foot. Lowe's is now running the risk of a Cracker Barrel, of a Denny's, of a Sambo's. You know, we've seen these companies that have taken serious public relations hits as the result of a misstep politically. And Lowe's can become one of these companies which, you know, they become like five and dimes. They're very cheaply traded and very discount bargain basement, and if I was advising Home Depot or I was advising Do It Center, I would say this is the time to go into Lowe's. And
well, you're talking about going in and misrepresenting yourself to Lowe's so that they pull their advertising from some more shows and become even more controversial and basically go out of business.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what you're trying to do if you're the competitor. That's what you're trying to do. And Lowe's right now, they should have known better. But that's what I do. See, that's what I do. I strategize. I see where a company missteps. I go into the competitor and I say, here's where you stick it right in. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but this is where you take that knife and you shove it all the way in and break it off. And if it sounds cruel, it's a cruel world, you know. And
well, it's also not a very honest thing from what you're describing, you know.
It really depends on what you call honesty, Phil. I'm not saying... I'm not going in there with Home Depot's recommendation. I'm just going in there and representing myself. That's all.
Well, okay. 877-876-PHIL. If you shop at any of these stores, what do you think of that? What do you think of Home Depot or the rest of these companies taking advantage of Lowe's bad publicity and trying to run them out of business? 877-876-PHIL. And let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on the Phil Henry Show. My understanding is, Greg, they told me you're in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm driving at the crack of dawn up the East Coast, up to New York
okay.
for a business trip. But I just tuned in for your show, and I got to disagree with Brad on this because the Home Depot is like the exact opposite of Lowe's. There's a ton of boycotts out there right now against the Home Depot because they're too politically active. And all you got to do is go to the website boycottthehomedepot.com. There's hundreds of thousands of people that are signed up for because they're tired of Home Depot getting on one side of the political debate. And I think Lowe's...
Yeah, but you know, the problem with that is nobody knows about it. Lowe's has tackled an issue here that's got them front and center on the headlines. I mean, yeah, you do, and some people do, but Home Depot, for whatever reason, has been able to, you know, go under the radar and that stuff, whereas Lowe's is on the front page. And if I'm Home Depot, and I see that Lowe's is on the front page, well, you know, do you work for? It sounds to me like you work. It sounds to me like you work for Home Depot. Why don't you just go ahead and say it?
Well, right? I guess what I'm saying is,
or are you a right winger? Are you a right winger?
What's that?
Are you a right winger? I don't understand what your thing was with Home Depot.
Well, no. I am a boycotter of Home Depot. But
okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So you got an agenda, you know.
Well, let the man finish. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to say that there's people like myself that if they just stayed out of it altogether, I would shop at Home Depot, you know. But wherever you stand on it politically, I just want you, as a company, I think you need to stay out of it.
I want to ask a question, sir. You said you boycott Home. Wait a minute, you boycott Home Depot, but you'd shop there. Is that what you just said?
No, I would not shop at Home Depot. As long as they're getting into political,
I understand. But like the guy said, you're calling just because you don't like Home Depot. All right, 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back.
That's what I said.
No, I know.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL here on this Tuesday night live, baby. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show, Phil TV and HD. We have our merchandise store is open 24/7. Man, are those hoodies going out the door fast, and we've got a new order in. I've been told to tell you we've resupplied the larges because we sold out of the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, the large, but we've got them. They're back in the store. It's a beautiful thing. So head over to philhendryshow.com, click on shop, and that's where you're going to find all of our stuff. Here we have Brad Rifkin this evening. We've been talking a little bit about Lowe's. Now let's get into Brad. And Brad is an advertising consultant, owns his own agency in Las Vegas. Let's get into something decidedly more odious than Lowe's and their boycotting of a TV show. Jerry Sandusky waived the preliminary hearing today. Brad, did you hear about this?
Yes, I did, right.
And is going to go straight to trial. That means he did not have to, in this preliminary hearing, he did not have to listen to or confront in any way any of his accusers, did not have to confront any of their attorneys. He's going to go straight to trial. Some people call it very cowardly. What do you do as an advertising rep, as a PR rep? What can you possibly do for a Jerry Sandusky?
Well, Phil, I believe that, first of all, I want to make very clear that I completely disavow myself, separate myself from any of this kind of the things that this man is accused of. It's beyond, you know, it's not my experience. I have family. I've got young nieces and nephews. Myself, I'm not married. I don't have any children, but, someday. But in the meantime, I've got a great... My brother has two kids. My sister has three. I'm an uncle to the kids, and I see how families operate. I see how my family is... We love children, and we celebrate. But I would never, ever, and I probably...
Well, that goes without saying, but I appreciate it.
But here's what I would do. Because I don't believe that there is anything is a hopeless cause. I believe that there is always a possibility of trying to salvage something from any situation. Now, this guy Sandusky, I don't know him from Adam. But I will tell you that my first thing with Jerry Sandusky would be this. We've got to somehow turn it around. He hasn't been able to turn it around. You got to turn it around. And the way to turn it around for Sandusky is I would get pictures of him in the media, and if possible, even get some video of him in the media, where he is smiling, clapping, and enjoying himself, not shaking hands with or coaching or anything like that, but he's just sitting in the grandstand at a Little League game, smiling and laughing and enjoying that kind of activity. And you try to get, first of all, I think he's you have to get him out there so he is very contrite and very humble, that he means no harm. So I would have him out in as many functions as possible. And
you'd have him around kids?
No. You don't understand. I would not have him directly interacting with the kids. I would have him peripheral to it, but there. Because you have to make a positive connection between Sandusky and kids. You must do that. So
you've got him in, you do videotapes of him, and what, by the way, how is this presented?
The way you present it is if Jerry Sandusky, I think Jerry Sandusky has got to I think he's got to be proactive. I think he has to, at least in the College Station area of Pennsylvania, state, you know, where the state university is, I think he has to take purchase some TV time, 60-second, two-minute spots, where he says, "Hello, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I know you've heard about me, but I'd like to tell my side, and I'm going to do that in court. But here I am at a Little League game. Here I am at a, I know you're going to think this is insane, but I think if you could, I think you could do this. I think you could have Sandusky just sitting at a Chuck E. Cheese, not
in a, no way, man, no.
No, hold on for a minute, hold on.
No way. That, you put him anywhere near a Chuck E. Cheese, it isn't going to happen.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm not saying sitting with any kids. You're not even, he's with his wife, he's with other adults. So he's at a table with other adults, okay?
Doesn't matter.
Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been in the advertising game for 30 years. 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You put him at a table with other adults, and they're laughing and telling jokes, but they're in a Chuck E. Cheese. "Hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky. These are some moments from my life." He never mentions kids, nothing. Okay? But you see him at a Little League game. You see him sitting at a Chuck E. Cheese, this kind of thing. And then you end it where he is just sitting in a grandstand saying, "I've been lied about. I'm going to have my day in court." And he's in the grandstand with, let's say, 20 kids, and they all go, yay, they cheer him. Now, that's what I would do.
People would think that you are just creating a manipulation.
No, believe me, I've been in advertising a long time. People would suddenly say, there's a subconscious reaction, they would say, this guy is not the monster we thought he was. Look, he's having a cup of coffee and a Chuck E. Cheese, he's at a Little League game, and the closing shot, this is the one.
You got a closing shot of him in what, in a grandstand?
Sitting in a grandstand, a little grandstand. "I'm Jerry Sandusky, and what they've been saying about me are filthy lies, and when I have my day in court, you watch what happens." And then all the kids behind him go, yay, like that. Now, it's simple, and of course, it's a formulaic thing. It's, you change it depending. But this is what I would do. If you ask me, what would Brad Rifkin do? You don't have to believe me, Phil. I've only got 30 years in the business. What do I know? I would do that.
All right. Our number is 1-800. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, by the way. 877-876-7445.
By the way, one of my favorite actors is on ESPN right now, Michael Rapaport, and he's in talking to some guy. I don't know who this guy is. He's talking to Michael Rapaport. You ever seen this guy, Michael Rapaport?
Sure, yeah.
I love him. He might be talking prize fighting or something like that.
All right, well, in any event, we're talking about Jerry Sandusky.
Well, what I'm saying is, if they ever did a movie, I would this guy Rapaport would be very good at.
All right, we're talking about Jerry Sandusky here with advertising executive Brad Rifkin, about what you would do, Brad, to resuscitate, revitalize, rehabilitate the image of Jerry Sandusky going into this trial. I take it you believe that his waiving the preliminary hearing was correct?
I think it was, yeah. You don't want him in a negative context or any negative, you don't want him in any sort of a negative setting with kids. You want it all to be positive.
Now, let me ask you about these images that you would say you would do. It would be a television campaign.
It would be a TV campaign.
Now, we're talking here, folks, about a television campaign to rehabilitate Jerry Sandusky. It would be a 60-second commercial?
It could be a 60. They do 90 seconds now. They do 2 minutes. You know, the infomercials are very long. I wouldn't do infomercial length. I would do a 90-second.
A 90-second? Would you buy it all the day?
Oh, yeah. I would buy as much time as I could.
And this is a produced commercial?
That's correct.
And you have Jerry Sandusky is at a basketball game, or
yeah, he's not anywhere near kids coaching them. He's not interacting with them. He's just sitting in a grandstand and he's cheering on a Little League game or cheering on something like that. The next shot I would have him at, and again I would have him interspersing with comments. "Hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and do I look like some kind of a creep to you?" Well, however you want to put it. And then you show him in a grandstand. "Dennis, I'm Jerry Sandusky. Does this look like a guy, you know, that's an animal?" And you show him having a cup of coffee with his lawyer, with his wife, and they happen to be enjoying it at an outside table at a Chuck E. Cheese. let's say. So he's not even inside. You don't even put him inside.
I don't even know if Chuck E. Cheese has outdoor tables, but...
But you know what I'm saying. And then you say, does he look like a guy that'll hurt a kid? And the last shot is, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and you have to do this for political reasons, for legal reasons. I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I approve this content. And then the kids in the grandstand, yay. So
there's Jerry Sand. You know what that reminds me of? And it was one of the most tasteless things I think I ever saw in my life. And there are very few people that remember it. I think it was Time Magazine, or it might have been Life Magazine, that actually posed Lieutenant William Calley, who was an American Army officer in Vietnam, and who had been at least partially responsible for the carrying out of the My Lai massacre, where civilians were murdered by American soldiers. And they had a picture of this guy on the cover of a magazine with kids in his lap.
I don't know anything about that, Phil, and no, this has got nothing to do...
Well, it sounds cynical that way.
This man has not been convicted of anything. The only thing he's been convicted of is being an idiot, which I agree he is. He's as stupid as they get, and he needs to have some people give him some advice and turn the corner on this thing, because he's doing every stupid thing you could do. He did that stupid interview. He sounded like an idiot. He did another interview. He sounded even dumber than he did in the first one. Everywhere that Jerry Sandusky goes, all the advice he's gotten, and I'm blaming that lawyer. I'm not blaming him. I blame that lawyer. Every time you see a guy acting dumb, there's a lawyer somewhere. I'm an advertising executive. I get stuff done. And what I'm telling you is Sandusky, he needs his lawyer for the courtroom. But what he needs is an image reshaping. He needs a guy like me or people like that where we can say, look, you need to get in front of a camera and say, I'm Jerry Sandusky, I approve this message. Yay, and the kids all cheer.
I'm Jerry Sandusky, I approve.
Well, that's at the end of the commercial, but...
Well, what you're saying is get him in a commercial with children. Not directly interacting with them, but he's around them.
That is correct, yes.
So he's not... in no way, shape, or form is he talking to kids?
Right, even at the end shot where he's in the grandstand and the kids are cheering, he's ignoring them. Like, it's almost like it bothers him that they're there. And I would even push that. We've often seen the little ragamuffin on TV where the adult says, hey, get lost, kid. That's what I would have Sandusky doing in some of these things. I'm Jerry Sandusky. I'm not who you think I am. That's nice, kids. Would you just beat it? You know, get away from me. And have him look like a regular adult. Because regular adults, we love kids. But kids bother us, too. We're trying to get something done. Here's some kid, right? And you look down, and next thing you know, there's another kid. Just like, would you kids beat it and get lost here? Go. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I told a kid one day, go chase a freight train. You know, here's a quarter. Throw it on a track. Go find it. You know.
Well, that's... we're talking about hateful.
But you don't want him to look like anything other than a regular guy.
All right. Let me take a break and give our phone number out. 877-876-PHIL. As Brad Rifkin here talks about Jerry Sandusky and what he would do to rehabilitate his image, a 60 to 90 second commercial on television that essentially has Jerry Sandusky in settings where there are kids at the very end, a grandstand of kids cheering him, and also have him look like any other adult telling kids to beat it and get lost and not bother him. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. What do you think about all of this? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Brad Rifkin. He is an advertising agency owner and executive, and we were talking about Lowe's and their problem with their pulling their advertising from that TV show. Now we're talking about Jerry Sandusky. This is the Penn State coach who has been indicted for the abuse of children, sexual abuse of children, child molestation, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. God knows what the charges are. And with me is Brad Rifkin talking about the strategy in rehabilitating a guy like this. So I understand, Brad, that you don't condone who this man is, but we're talking now, best case scenario, how to rehabilitate a guy like Jerry Sandusky.
Absolutely. again, Phil, I'm glad you brought that up. This is what I do for a living. It doesn't mean that it's like running a political campaign in a lot of ways. I don't know if people notice or not, but you don't have to agree with a politician. You don't even have to vote for a politician in order to work for him and strategize for him and help him win. It sounds crazy. Some people may think it is crazy, but it's what I do for a living, and I enjoy it very, very much. A guy like Sandusky, look, people are going to make up their minds. What I do is I try to bring out the positives, and I try to accentuate.
But when you're talking about molesting children, what positives are there?
There's always something that you can use to get to the feeling of the viewer. Everybody who watches Jerry Sandusky, they want to hate him. But there's something that you can use to get people on his side. And
you know, I want to be clear here. You're talking about, let's say, for instance, some mother of five or six kids, or a father, or someone who, as an adult, is now looking at this man because they remember when they were abused as a kid. And you're going to find something?
You're going to find a touchstone, what we call a commonality. That's why I'm very, very big in the Sandusky case of making him look like as much like other normal adults as possible. And one of those things, and we love children and we celebrate children, but we, as a normal adult, is sometimes impatient with kids. You don't have time for them. Their questions sound stupid. They bug you. I know for me, I love my nieces and nephews, but there's days if I'm working and they come over to the house because they're getting old enough to drive now and say, hey, Uncle Brad, can we this, that? I said, why don't you get lost? You guys are...
You tell them to get lost?
Well, I do it, yeah. But not bad, but I just say, look, just get out of here, will you? I got work I got to do. Because they want to watch the TV. I said, well, you go and you watch, because I got a big screen TV, and I do a lot of sports. I do a sports betting show on a local Las Vegas TV station. So I've got the big screen TV, and I got a big dish in the backyard. And they want to come over and look. I said, why don't you get out of here, So what the reason why I'm saying is you got to get Sandusky so he's like a lot of adults. Have him be like, what I would do with him is put him on TV and say, I know what a lot of you think. The fact is, kids, I'm just like you. Kids, they bug me. I can't get anything done, And
boy, that...
Phil, I've been doing advertising for 30 years.
So, Jerry Sandusky, with this, the revulsion that people have for this guy, and you heard him... As he said, am I sexually attracted to kids? And he can't answer.
Right, right. He sounded like a freak. You've got to get him so he sounds like other adults.
And in order to sound like other adults, he's got to talk about how he's bugged by kids?
But in a way that the way other adults do it, not in a hateful way. Just, hey, look, you bother me, kid. Would you take off? We've all said, and we don't mean it, we've all said it as adults, hey, kid, why don't you go play on the freeway? You've heard that phrase.
It's a very hurtful thing to say.
I don't think so, Phil. I think it's.
It's almost a hateful thing to say.
No, it's not. No, you got to really get. I think one of the things that happens with a story like this, everybody suddenly has a pull up their rear end because they want to sound so perfect. And look, as well as I do, if kids are getting in your hair, hey kid, here's a quarter. I'm going to throw it on that railroad track, and with any luck, a super chief is going to come by right as you're reaching over to pick it up. Now get lost.
Well, that sounds really nice, but here's my point.
No, but you understand what I'm saying.
Well, my point, the point that you're trying to make with me, and that I think that my audience may or may not be getting, is that Sandusky is a freak, and that you have to make him look human.
Absolutely. You not only have to make him look human, you have to make him look like one of us. Just another adult that is... I've had it up to here with these kids. If they don't shut up, I'm going to drive this car off a cliff kind of an adult. Sandusky ain't like that. He's not like normal adults. Sandusky doesn't get tired of kids. He'll drive them all over Hell's Half Acre. He's smiling all the while. He'll take them to Chuck E. Cheese. That's weird. Everybody knows it's weird. You got to be... So if I had him, I'd have him in front of a camera, and he'd be saying, I'm Jerry Sandusky.
And kids bother me.
Well, you wouldn't do it that way. You'd say, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I'm just like you. I love kids, but you don't want to know. So I know I've already said that I love kids, but I want to tell you something else that I didn't tell you. Just like you, kids, I'm ready to rip my face off with these kids. Yak, 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 bad, 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 bad. But, there are days when I would just as soon, if I had them in a bus, well, you can't say anything really bad. But say what other adults would say. If, you know, if I had them in a bus, I'd lock the doors. And...
Lock the doors and what?
I don't know, but what you're trying to do is relate to how other adults feel. You wouldn't say this, but, you know, I'd lock the doors and I'd throw a match in the gas tank or something like that. And...
Well, that's not how other adults feel, you know.
Well, excuse me, Phil.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get this guy going from being a child molester to having a real problem, I mean a real hatred or something.
No, he's like every other adult, trying to normalize this guy. At the very end of the commercial, when the kids go, hey, he goes, would you shut up or something, anything to make him look like a regular guy. So when the kids go, I'm Jerry Sandusky, I approve this message, the kids go, hey, Jerry, he goes, yeah, sure, and he just waves his hands at them. So he looks like a guy that, and in a lot of ways, what you say is, I'm Jerry Sandusky. I used to work with kids, but you can see what that got me. You know, now I wouldn't be around a kid if he was gold-plated. I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I approve this message there.
Well, it sounds like he's not taking the blame, you know.
Well, Phil, look, he's not pleading guilty, so he's got to say, I used to like working around kids, but guess what? Where that got me. Look, I'm in a courtroom now. Thanks very much. So now, I don't care if I see a busload of them going through ice. You have to be hardcore.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Do you agree with Brad? 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line, of course, is Brad Rifkin. We have Dave Oliva in a few minutes to talk about the ramifications, the repercussions, if you will, the after effects of this shooting that took place in Hollywood, California on a Friday. A young man who suddenly is walking down a street in the Hollywood section of Los Angeles, firing at cars. One man was hit in the face, a record company executive who is instable, and I believe he's out of danger. And I say face, he was hit in the jaw. This man, of course, you know, this gunman was shot and killed by L.A. police. But it turns out he had broken up with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend came forward and said, I wonder if, you know, this might have had something to do with it. We're going to talk to Dave Oliva about that, an aspiring police officer. We got Brad Rifkin with us, and we are discussing, Brad, the idea that Jerry Sandusky, in your opinion, as an advertising executive, as a PR guy, you could rehabilitate Jerry Sandusky, and we're not talking about you can't cure him if, in fact, he does abuse children.
Oh, no, I'm not in that business. No, I don't know. That takes a psychiatrist. I don't know what that takes, but no, I'm talking about his public image. And
all right, his public image, and you're saying that what happens here is you get him in a couple of commercials where he is at a Chuck E. Cheese having a coffee, but he's not around kids.
You know, he's not interacting with children. That's my point. That's very, very important. And when he does interact with kids, he's giving them the brush off that a lot of adults will give a kid. You're saying, hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I'm having a coffee here at Chuck E. Cheese, and maybe a kid comes up, hey, Mr. Sandusky, do you have change for a buck or whatever? Because they're going to just like, you know, and he says to the kid, like many adults will say, just, you know, shove off, kid. You know, I'm talking, you know, when adults are talking, why don't you just shut up? What I'm trying to, it sounds harsh. It sounds very harsh. But what you're trying to do is show the adults that are watching that you are, you're just like them. Hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky. And then the kid's chairman, he says, yeah, you know what? I wish they weren't even here. I wish you kids would get lost.
That sounds hostile. That sounds like a guy that's hostile to kids and that wants to hurt kids, and nobody's, and that's the same thing, you know?
No, it doesn't sound like somebody that wants to hurt kids. It doesn't sound like somebody that's hostile. It sounds like a normal adult, okay?
I don't know, in my entire life, I don't know that I've said to a kid, shove off or get out of here more than maybe a half a dozen times, you know?
Yeah, but if you're in a bad mood, you tell, maybe not, but you'll tell the kids, why don't you shut up, you know? Or you'll say to a kid, would you turn that garbage down? How many times have you said to a kid, would you turn that garbage that you're listening to down? What are you doing? You playing San Andreas Auto, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? Take that crap off the TV. You're always constantly judging kids. We love
right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bill. You're on with 877-876-PHIL. And so what we are talking about here is something that's quite different, and that is you, along with these kids, along with Jerry Sandusky, not rehabilitating him and making him healthy, but rehabilitating his public image.
Rehabilitating his public image, right. I mean, like that last call that you had, where you had the dump, where he's talking about, you know, what he did and where he was, the jail sentence that he had been. We're not talking about molesters, all right? We're talking about people that are like kids, but are individuals not yet, you know, ready to interact with them. So what you do is you say, I don't like kids. I don't like you. Why don't you bug off, kid? And other adults understand that.
Well, Jerry Sandusky, as we mentioned, folks, was at a preliminary hearing. He waived, actually it wasn't a preliminary hearing, he waived the preliminary hearing today. He's going to be in the, I guess he'll be in the trial when it starts.
That's right.
And when he is at that trial, that's when he's going to have to confront these people.
Well, and that's why I would like to see him get out front with some kind of a, some any kind, if he can, any kind of a ad campaign, a 60 to a 90-second ad campaign in which he is basically saying, I'm Jerry Sandusky, you don't know the whole story about me, while he's at a Chuck E. Cheese, while he's at a Little League game.
And then tell the kids to shove off.
Then tell the kids to shove off. Exactly.
All right, well, Brad, good luck with that. And by the way, getting back to your comments about Lowe's, do you actually have an appointment to go in and talk to Lowe's?
No, I don't. But, I mean, if I did, I would go in as I would pretend like I was a Home Depot guy. And I would say, you know, let me tell you, I wouldn't pretend I'm a Home Depot guy, but I would tell Home Depot I'd like to go in to Lowe's and tell them that, you know, they can really make really good PR for themselves if they boycott the show about Mexicans. What you're trying to do is make Lowe's look even worse than they already are. And that's the whole goal of that. Make Lowe's look worse than they already are.
Good luck to you, Brad. I appreciate you being on the show. You are always a you're always a guy with ideas. Blink if you're thirsty.
Yeah, that too bad that didn't take off. You know?
Yeah, it's too bad. Brad Rifkin, ladies and gentlemen, and an ad agency guy that we've had on our program before. That blink if you're thirsty. You can go to our website and hear that. That is a that's an amazing bit. All right, 877-876 Phil is our number. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dave Oliva, and this has to do this. Interview with Dave, it has to do with the shooter in Hollywood, California on Friday. His girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, has come forward to say, you know what, this shooting might have had something to do with the fact that we broke up. We don't know. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, this is terrible. This is terrible. John Atterbury has died from his wounds. And this was the man who was in his car in Hollywood and was shot by this kid. I say kid. He was shot by this man. He was a 26-year-old man, Tyler Brehm, who was eventually shot and killed by two plainclothes police officers moments after shooting this poor man, Mr. Atterbury, who was a 40-year-old radio executive and was killed. And the last I'd heard, and I thought that this man was in stable condition, but he died of his wounds. And so we're going to have to just X out Mr. Oliva, you know?
Think so.
I think so. I know so. I'm not having him on speculating about this, the reasons why this guy was going on a rampage.
Why? I mean, you know, it might be...
I'm not going to have him on speculating on that a man died, okay? So over and done with, man. I'm not going to have him sitting here talking about how, hey, you know, I think it probably is the fact that the guy's girlfriend broke up with him. No way. Now I got to find out this poor man. He died at 3 o'clock. 3 p.m. LAPD confirms Atterbury died at 3 p.m. Monday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. That was yesterday. Why didn't you guys tell me?
I didn't know it. That was the same guy.
The same guy? Yes, it was the same guy. They said he was in stable condition and that it looked like his wounds were not life-threatening. Oh, Lord Almighty. He also helped create the music publishing company Infusion Music Group, where he worked on albums for Christina Aguilera, Michael Jackson, and the Spice Girls. A lot of people are going to miss John. There are a lot of people who he helped, according to his uncle, Johnny Adams, who talked to Channel 5 in Los Angeles. In a Facebook post, Atterbury's older sister, Cynthia, described her loss. Today, I lost my John, my baby, my guardian angel, my protector. Good God. So,
we want to do it, Dave Oliver.
Tell Mr. Oliver that we're not going to have him on the show. That's all there is to it. I can't do it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this on a show. It's been that kind of, you know, the week's just started out that way, folks. My apologies, but I got behind the eight ball yesterday with some work that we're doing and got into the studio that was not, we were not able to do our show live last night, but we're here live tonight, and these are the things that happen in live radio.
Yeah, but I mean, Dave Oliver, he's on the phone.
So he's on the phone. Tell the guy to tell
him to get lost.
Don't tell him to get lost, but, you know, it happens. What do you want me to tell? You know, it happens, okay? All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I want to get into a story here about the...
Mr. Hall.
What is it with every time he calls? Yeah, David, how you doing?
I know you've got a guest that's going to come on to talk about this shooter in Hollywood. I don't want him on because this poor man, as you know...
Yes, I just made the announcement.
Oh, you just made the announcement on the air?
Yes.
Why didn't you... All right. But don't put him on. Now, we also are going to have him complaining about the fact that you canceled him out. So I don't want you to say anything negative about him. Simply have him...
I already have said something... I haven't said anything negative about him, but he's been...
Just have him... Don't tell me that... In other words, he's on the line right now?
He was about to go on the air, and we called it off.
Oh, no. Bad. Bad. Real bad. Now, you should have called him at home and said, we are not going to have you on the air. You don't have him call up and get ready to go on the air and then decide you're not going to have him on.
I understand. That's my mistake.
Well, it's a big mistake. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make it so that these guests that you have on, Phil, you know, these guests, as that gentleman was saying, these quote-unquote guests, you know, the artistry of what you do.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, I'm just trying to make it so they don't get pissed. Imaginary people getting pissed at you.
Thank you. God.
Anyway, Mr. Hall wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I just talked to him. Thanks. All right, 877-876-PHIL. I apologize, Mr. Oliver. We'll have you on another time on another topic. Thank you so very deeply, and good night. God. They had planned to gather on Tuesday on the barren shore along Ocean Parkway on Long Island to remember the victims of a suspected serial killer, the remains found scattered among the area's shrouded thickets over the past year. Instead, they paid special respects to the woman whose disappearance unfurled this grim string of mysteries in the first place. Hours before relatives of some of the victims were to hold their vigil, law enforcement officials said they discovered what they believed to be the skeletal remains of Shannon Gilbert, a Jersey prostitute, last seen in May of 2010. In their search for Ms. Gilbert, who was then 24, investigators found the remains of 10 other victims, including 8 women, a toddler, and a man wearing women's clothing, raising the specter of a serial killer of prostitutes. Each victim had a possible connection to the sex trade, said Richard Dormer, who's a Suffolk County Police Commissioner. The toddler, whose body was discovered on April the 4th, is believed to be the child of a prostitute whose remains were found miles down Ocean Parkway on April the 10th. The relatives arranged the anniversary vigil before the prospect of Ms. Gilbert's discovery even was raised. On December the 13th of last year, officials reported the discovery of 4 bodies in the brush on Jones Beach Island. This is this island we were telling you about, and we actually got on the webcast, we got a map up of Jones Beach to show you where this is. It's Long Island. It's a very not yeah, it's a deserted area, but it's not too far removed from populated areas, obviously, because it's Long Island. How many miles are you going to travel without eventually running into some kind of domicile or business? But there are small areas along this one stretch of the beach there that are not only isolated, they're easily accessible by way of the road, but you can hide things there, if you will. You can hide, in this case, you can hide human remains. Authorities have maintained, though, that Ms. Gilbert's case is not necessarily related to the others. The location of the body believed to be hers, Mr. Dormer said on Tuesday, has helped validate his belief that Ms. Gilbert drowned while trying to reach the parkway through the swampland nearby after knocking on a door in Oak Beach. The body was found, Dormer said, about a quarter mile northeast of where investigators last week retrieved what they believed were Ms. Gilbert's purse, jeans, shoes, and cell phone. She's been missing, keep in mind, folks, for a long time. What was this, in May? May of 2010, so over a year. She traveled at least a half a mile, three-quarters of a mile on foot through that muck. It would be very easy to get exhausted, fall down, and not be able to move any further.
Whoa, what's she doing walking around out there?
I don't know, man. She could have been at a house. If she's a prostitute and she had a customer who, for whatever reason, she needed to get away or get out of that house, or she just wasn't comfortable, or she just didn't want to be there anymore, she didn't have a ride, she's trying to find a phone, maybe she's drunk, and she suddenly finds herself staggering through a swamp, trying to find her way to something, you know, remotely dry and passable. Yeah, you know, you can drown. Later, Marie Gilbert, Shannon's mother, appeared at the vigil with a group of friends. But Marie Gilbert has said the authorities contacted her Tuesday morning with news of the discovery, was unconvinced that the remains were her daughter's, noting that an autopsy had not been completed. Until I hear positive confirmation that it's my daughter, I'm going to believe that it's not. Let me just enter in Jones Beach here in our search engine. For those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD. And what we're looking here is Ocean Parkway. And Ocean Parkway, Long Island. And you guys can see right there, there's Jones Beach. It's two places. And you can see this is all marshland. It's separated from the mainland. There's a couple of causeways. So this beach here is this Jones Beach State Park, Jones Beach. There's the John F. Kennedy Memorial Wildlife Sanctuary. This is all kind of wild. And then there are some places along here, I believe, that I think there's a club or some sort of a resort club nearby. And those are populated areas. But you see this here.
It's like right on the sand.
It's like a spit of sand. It's just like a little spit of land, yeah. And that's where these people, these poor people, have turned up over the last, I don't know, several months. Anyway, Mr. Dormer, this is the cop who's talking, said areas adjacent to where the remains have been found were drained over the last week in aid in the search. They were traveling through thick brush. Anyway, so they got a serial murderer, you know.
What is a serial murderer? Is that a guy killing a lot of people?
Yeah, pretty much, over a period of time. Serial killer, as opposed to a spree killer. Spree killer is a guy who... Andrew Cunanan, you remember who was that guy? Andrew Cunanan, remember that guy that killed Johnny Versace?
Yeah.
He was a spree killer. It was a period of like 2 weeks. He killed a bunch of people on his way to this, God knows what, on his way to some hellish climax, went down to Miami, kills Johnny Versace, cops are hot on his trail, find him in a houseboat, he decides to end it all. But for a period of days, if not a couple of weeks, he was killing people in Florida and elsewhere. And that's a spree killer. That's someone who suddenly, like Charles Starkweather, like these people that just suddenly decide over a very confined, short span of time, go on a rampage. And it can last for days. It doesn't have to last for just, you know, a few hours. Mass murderers are guys that just walk into a place and start killing everybody. But a serial killer is someone who can last for years. And these are generally psychopaths. These are people who don't have any feelings. These are people that can, you know, you can give them a lie detector test and they don't blink. You can put the blood pressure machine on a man and they're just as cool as a cucumber. They don't have any feelings. They're just killers. And they do it over, that was Gary Ridgway, that was the BTK killer, the, you know, people like that. Ted Bundy. So, there you go.
So, this guy's like Ted Bundy, huh?
I don't know. Whoever this is, yeah, I mean, you're talking about 11 bodies, and we're talking at least a couple of years. Yeah, this is a serial killer, and this is probably a psychopath. And somebody who travels not very, there's organized ones and there's disorganized ones. The organized ones are the guys that really hide their tracks. They hide their, they hide the evidence. They really are good at not being caught. Disorganized psychopaths and sadistic serial killers are like that guy in Cleveland that just had dead bodies in the house.
Yeah, that guy like getting up in the morning watching TV and the dead body.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that guy's soul.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah, he's living in a house with dead bodies all over the place. He's a freaking freak. And then there's, or this cat. This guy looks a little disoriented. He keeps dumping people in the same place. It's like he wants to get caught. You know? And then there's ones that send notes to the cops. And there's ones that send notes to the newspapers. These guys are all about power. But some guys are into power. They like to control the media. They like to control the public's perception of them. That was like the Zodiac and that, and people like that, or BTK. Some guys are just into the power of killing a person. That's enough power for them. They like the idea of having that much control over a human being. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's giving me the creeps.
Good thing it ain't Halloween, man. All right, we'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more in our extended news and information hour. Right back.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Okay, welcome back here. You can take that map down, bud, of Jones Beach. We don't have to see. That's a drag looking at that, you know.
Yeah, I figured like we're a serial killer, put stuff, you know, that he killed.
Yeah, exactly. So just take it off of there, man. It's bumming me out, okay?
Where?
The map of Jones Beach, the place where the serial killer is leaving dead bodies. Get it off of the screen. It's a drag.
This one here?
Yes, that one there. Does that say Jones Beach?
Yeah.
Take that down.
You want that down?
Yes, I want.
Just kidding.
Well, God, you know, looking at that is bumming me out. Because I'm going to talk to Dave Oliver. Now we got Dave back on the line here. Actually, something, Dave, that you were discussing with Robert, this woman in Chicago.
Oh, yes, sir.
This is a news anchor in Chicago who has been forced to apologize after saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist live on the air.
Oh, yes, sir, that's correct.
During a 9 p.m. news broadcast on Fox Chicago, anchor Robin Robinson, is that the same? No, I was thinking of Robin Roberts. Robin Robinson, and this was on the 2nd of December, she said that as soon as children are toddlers, they should learn that parents give presents, not Santa. Stop trying to convince your kids that Santa is Santa, the Chicago newscaster said. Well, that's what my take is. Forget about it. That's why they have these high expectations. They know you can't afford it, so they're going to ask some man in a red suit. There's no Santa. According to Robinson, children should learn the truth as soon as they can talk. Santa is a symbol of the generosity of the season. You go sit on his lap and we'll take a picture, but he's not coming down the chimney. He's not eating those cookies. He's not bringing blah, blah, blah. So the next day, Robinson issued the following apology because I guess she just got nailed. It was careless and callous to say that what I said in what could have been mixed company. So many kids don't get to be children that for those who do get to live the wonder and magic of Christmas, I would never spoil it intentionally. So I sincerely apologize. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's you know, as an aspiring police officer, you know, I have to look at what the law is going to say about this, and I can't be sentimental. I can't be, allow my feelings to interfere with what it is that I feel. But I have to say that, she's right, and she has the right to free speech. You know.
Yeah, but as a newscaster, she has the right to free speech. I understand that. But does that free speech, in other words, freedom of speech is a right, but there's no law that says you must practice freedom of speech?
Well, I'm not really sure I know what you mean by that.
In other words, being quiet about certain things is not against the law.
No, it's not against the law, but that's not what she did. You know, she came on to the TV show that she's on, and she said, you know, there's no Santa Claus, and for that, she was given a dressing down by the station management. She was, criticized by viewers because she, to me, when the viewers called in to criticize her, you have to ask yourself, what's that about? You know, she's on TV. She's trying to give people information. To be on TV, I think, and I don't know about what you think, Mr. Ernie, but to be on TV, I think it's an accomplishment, you know. And when you see somebody on TV, I guess the first thing you have to ask yourself is, am I on TV? No, I'm not. That person's on TV. So they're saying something to me. I'm not up there saying something to them. And right there, that is an indication that that person has achieved something that I have not achieved. I've not achieved, you've not achieved, you know. So I think you have to give them that respect. And then when she says something that's true, practicing the freedom of speech, as a police officer, I have to back that up.
Yeah, but this is not really a police matter, is it?
I'm sorry, Phil, say it again.
This is not a police matter, you know. This is not...
Well, yeah, yes, it is.
How is it a police matter?
Because if she is practicing the freedom of speech that we have a right to have in the Constitution, and then the TV station tells her that, no, you don't, we got a problem, you know. The problem is, basically, her rights under the Constitution have been denied.
But what is a police officer going to do about it? Are you going to go in there and...
Well, I mean, I could take a phone. If she wants to call me up and say, or call up the police and say, I was taken off the air, I was expressing my opinion, I'm sure the police would, send a car by to take a report.
And what exactly are they going to report? I mean, is there what law is being broken?
Well, it's interference with business,
Isn't that like a civil thing? I mean, I don't know,
believe me, Mr. Henry, I mean, as a police officer, I have to investigate, all of these things. And if there's somebody who's had their rights infringed, I got to go and look at it,
I know, but I don't know what you would arrest them for if someone said to that, if I said to somebody, you may not be on my TV station saying there's no Santa Claus because that hurts the children, and I'd much rather that you were being, you would just say that there is a Santa Claus. You're saying that I'm violating the law.
You're definitely violating the rights of that person to speak, to have the freedom of speech. And to be honest with you, Mr. Henry, I mean, telling kids that there's a Santa Claus when there's no Santa Claus, in many ways, I would have to investigate that, too, because...
What are you going to investigate there? Now, that's something parents have told kids for a long time.
I understand that, sir, yes.
Okay, what are you going to investigate there?
Well, the thing you would have to look at there is, if you're telling kids that there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like, in that way, it's kind of, you'd have to say it's kind of like child molestation because...
Child molestation? Because they're telling them there's a Santa Claus?
Well, yes, sir, because it's something that does affect them for the rest of their lives as a disappointment, and it has a psychological effect and impact that is devastating to the kids. So it's like when you say, yeah, there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like you molested on the kid,
Well, you see, that's you as an aspiring police officer. Now, you're practicing some psychology. I'm not saying that you're not right, but that's not your job.
Well, it's not my job, but I do have to investigate children being abused.
So you're going to tell me that telling a kid that there is a Santa Claus is child abuse?
I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying I would have to investigate it.
Well, then why aren't you out? Well, you're not a cop yet, but why aren't cops out there investigating?
Well, I mean, there's no complaint being issued. I mean, no one is saying, you know, there's a child being molested because someone just said that there's a Santa Claus. No one's doing that. But I would encourage people to at least call their local police department or to the local sheriff's substation.
And they're supposed to call up and say someone's telling a kid. That's ridiculous, okay?
Well, I'm not saying literally, but you're asking me about, like, you know, what's dangerous, and that lady was simply trying to help kids from being, you know, almost like they're being, in a way, verbally, it's like a verbal molestation, or, you know?
No, I don't know, and I think we're taking this word molestation too far. I think we're saying that just about anything that's going to hurt a kid, we attribute to molestation. That's ridiculous. There are a lot of things that hurt us in life. There are misunderstandings. There's the reality of life. There's the whether our parents love us or not. There's a lot of psychological scars we're going to bear. But to say that because someone told me there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, that's molestation that you should investigate as a police officer.
Well, I mean, but this lady was... The lady in Chicago is what I'm talking about.
Right.
This lady was told that she needs to apologize because she said there is no Santa Claus. And I'm saying that's wrong to do to her because she was speaking of the freedom of... She has the freedom of speech to say that. And people was calling up and busting on her for doing that.
All right, Dave Oliva with us here. Always an interesting conversation with Dave. 877-876-PHIL as we talk about... This news anchor in Chicago who told people, basically was telling everybody watching, including the kids, there is no Santa Claus. It sets up high expectations when you tell kids there's a Santa Claus. Well, she took so much heat that she had to come on the next day and apologize for saying there was no Santa Claus. And Dave is saying that saying there is a Santa Claus is much, much more dangerous. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Dave Oliva. Dave is, a lot of you guys have heard Dave on the show before. He is studying law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College. He is also an aspiring LAPD police officer. You haven't yet joined the academy, right, Dave?
No, sir, I have not.
And we were going to have you on to comment on the Hollywood thing, but I don't want to. I was not aware that Mr. Atterbury had died, or Mr. Atterby, I should say, had died.
I did not know that either, Phil, but, you know, I wasn't going to make a comment about that either. I think that's a tragic, you know, that's a tragic situation. But, you know, when you're in police work, you know, you're going to do a lot of different things that will be a part of what you got to do, you know. And so I'm, like, going, okay, I want to be a police officer, you know. And if a guy says to me that there's no Santa Claus, and I say, well, that's freedom of speech, you know. That's freedom of speech, you know.
All right. You know, I hear what you're saying. I just wonder, are you saying that the TV station had no right to tell that woman to apologize?
I do believe that, yeah. And as a police officer, I would have to intercede.
But what are you going to do? You going to go down to the TV station and tell them that they can't tell her that?
I don't know what I would be ordered to do or what I would be told to do for, you know, what I got to do. But I got to do what I got to do. And, you know, she do have the right. Well, I mean, she does have the right to speak the truth. I mean, we don't have that much truth these days, you know.
No, I understand it. 877-876-PHIL. We go to this gentleman here on line 8. Hello, sir, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just...
Is this Larry or...
I understand it. Why we just can't say the woman was just telling the truth, being on... television as a reporter, do we not want our reporters to tell us the truth?
Yeah, that's my point too, you know, Mr. Henry?
Well, I know, so, I understand that.
Words,
but
all the parents, you know, even when I was little, we were lied to. Let's say, okay, there's a Santa Claus, but he's just a man in a red suit, but mom and daddy bring the presents, and mom and daddy can't afford all this stuff you're asking for.
Well, I mean, that's my point. But see, here's the thing. You were told there was a Santa Claus, correct, sir?
Of course.
Yeah. See, that to me is the worst thing than to say that there is no Santa Claus, because that's like I said to Mr. Henry, that's almost like sort of like getting molested or something, you know? Even though it's not the physical, it's like your mind, you got your mind molested. You know what I mean?
I have to agree with you. Mr. Phil, yeah. On the molestation thing, we are taking that too far. I can't say I'm being molested because you're telling me as a child there's a Santa Claus. No, you're just lying to me. And ain't nobody.
That's true.
Well, let me. I want to ask this gentleman here on the phone. Then, what is your name, by the way, sir? I forget your name. It's what?
Andre.
Oh, it's Andre. Andre. Do you feel that the lady in Chicago, this news anchor, who is this news anchor, Dave?
I don't know. Rachel Robinson.
Oh, here it is. Rachel Robinson.
Yeah, Rachel Robinson. She's on, or no, not Rachel. It's Robin Robinson or something. She's on a TV show. And anyway.
Okay, no, hold on for a minute. Do you feel the woman should have been told to apologize? Because that's essentially what she had to do. She had to apologize for telling the truth.
I don't think she should have.
No, go ahead, sir.
I don't think she should have had to do that. And I think it should have been stated that, you know, as a TV reporter, just like on your show, when you're reporting a story, Phil, I want you to tell me the truth about it.
Well, that's true, but I mean, I would avoid certain things. Probably I would avoid the whole Santa Claus subject.
See, right there, you know, I mean, what you're doing then, Mr. Henry, is you're complicit in the, well, I wouldn't say you were doing it, but if a kid, then, you know, in 20 years goes, my mind was molested by Phil Henry, what are you going to say?
I'm not molesting anybody's mind by doing what? By just furthering the... I'm not doing anything like that.
Well, yeah, but this gentleman, you know, I was told there was a Santa Claus when I was a kid. And I remember years later going to my parents and going, man, you know, you molested my mind. And my father was all, what are you talking about? And I said, see, that's just it. That's a different generation, you know. When I said to my mom, I said, you got up into my mind with Santa Claus, and it was like you was sticking your hand down the pants of my mind. You see what I'm saying? When the adults do that, you know? And I'm not saying they mean it in a bad way, but when they tell a kid that there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like they have taken the hand, like a metal hand, and they put it down into the pants of the mind. To me, that's...
Put it into the pants of the mind. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm crazy or something.
Well, what are you talking about? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I agree with this gentleman. I don't know. I don't think it's like molestation. I think you're really going way out there with that. Okay, Andre?
Yeah. I think so.
You agree. You agree with that.
You don't, so, Andre, 100%. You don't agree that when they told you that there was a Santa Claus, it wasn't like they were taking some, you know, mental hand and sticking it right down into the mind pants.
No, it was just a lie. That's all.
I mean, it's a lie. Exactly. It's a lie. Exactly.
We have to deal with every day. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize you for what you're thinking, but to call it molestation, that's a little bit too far because...
It's a little whack, yeah. It's a little whack. I think we're just talking about... We're talking about degrees.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that lady was trying to keep children... from having the you don't want me to say it, Mr. Henry, but that lady on Chicago TV was trying to keep the mind pants zipped up, if you want to, you know.
Okay, that's a stupid analogy, if you don't mind me saying, Mr. Olivet. I'd rather not keep pursuing it. I appreciate very much your call there, Andre. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I wanted to move past that whole molestation thing. Santa Claus being a symbol of the generosity of the season. And what she was saying was, he is symbolic of the generosity of the season. Now, little kids don't really know what that means, do they?
Well, I don't think so. And I think that a little kid is going to hear that. And most little kids when they hear a lady talk on the news, the little kid is all, I ain't going to hear this because this has got nothing to do with me. What little kid sits and watches the news? Do you know of any? I don't know of any. So I don't think that that was really a situation, you know.
And what about children that are watching the news with the parents?
Well, I mean, I you know, you can speculate about a lot of things, Mr. Ernie, but I think what that news anchor did was in the context of that newscast, she said there's no Santa Claus. For any of you kids that may be watching that, you know, your parents were not smart enough, I mean, think about this. Who are the parents that are letting the children, you know, sit and watch the TV news with them?
Well, that is a point.
Yeah, you know, so that, basically what they're saying is, I think I'll sit down and watch the news and have my kid be exposed to whatever the newsman is going to say or the news lady, and, hey, guess what, you know, you snooze, you lose. She comes on and says, no Santa Claus. I think that in that way, you're also responsible. And then come on and say she's some kind of a, I don't know what they call her, you know, probably some kind of a pig or. You
know. Well, I don't know. I mean, the woman was told to apologize. Who knows what they said? They probably said, being parents, they probably said something like, is that absolutely necessary? I have my children sitting here, and they're watching the news with me.
Well, let's see. That's what I'm trying to say. Any parent that has their kids sitting there watching the news with them, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to come on and go, hey, yesterday a man was killed with a cotton candy gun? It ain't going to happen. And that's what, as a police officer, I have to protect against.
Well, Dave, you haven't convinced me this is a police matter, you know.
I think you will find that when it comes to this kind of thing.
You haven't convinced me this is a police matter. The cops don't go and intercede on behalf of people who have had their free speech rights affected somehow. But I appreciate your point about any parent that wants their child to remain innocent is not necessarily going to have them watching the news with them.
Well, that's it, yeah. So if they say, hey, Santa Claus doesn't exist, well, that's on the parents. That's not on the newscaster. That's on the parent, you know, because like I said, you ain't going to be watching news. They're not going to be on there saying, yesterday, 15 elves were fired at Santa's workshop. I mean, maybe, but.
Okay, thank you very much, though.
Well, okay, can I get an autograph?
All right, so that's Dave Oliva and an aspiring Los Angeles police officer talking about the issue there involved in the Chicago news anchor talking to her viewers one night on the news and saying, hey, there's no Santa Claus. She did have to apologize. Probably a lot of people would like the bare bones reason why that woman was asked to apologize. It's simply this. It's good customer relations. If you do have adults watching a newscast where the children heard something that creates an uncomfortable situation in the home, you know, you want to apologize for that. It's good customer relations. It is Christmas, and it's not that big of a news issue anyway. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And his world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't, and they won't, and they shan't. And we're very happy to be with you, and this is our first live show of the week. We are this spring on Fox TV, Napoleon Dynamite, the new animated TV series, will be hitting the air. And Phil Hendry, me, I'm a guest star, a guest voice, bud, you know.
Yeah, you're a guest voice on all of them.
Yes, I'm very, very proud to say that it worked out that way. So all six episodes of the animated version of Napoleon Dynamite, the much loved, the beloved, the iconic, and the very cult hit, and more than that, Napoleon Dynamite film. And when we were down at the Comic-Con in San Diego over the summer, it was crazy, man. I mean, we went into that room.
Tell me about it. You never got on the air and talked about that.
Well, you know, it was heavy because I went in using a real hippie word, but I went in there and I was going to be the moderator on this thing, and I had all the actors there from the show. And the room was just packed solid with Napoleon Dynamite fans. I mean, people just, all kinds of fans, all kinds of people who love that show. and dressed up as the characters, you know.
Did people do that a lot?
Yeah, people do that a lot. People do that a lot. They dress up as the characters. And, you know, at Comic-Con, of course, everybody's dressing up as the characters of everything that they love. So, you know, there were cats dressed as Batman, you know.
They look like a Spider-Man?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Spider-Man. There's no question about that.
There was. You can well imagine the numbers of guys dressed as Spider-Man. Lots of Batman. Lots of just everything, you know. And so when Napoleon Dynamite, we went to this big conference room there. And this was at the San Diego Convention Center. So you can imagine they have all these big rooms. And these rooms are for a variety of different things that that the conventions will hold. In these different rooms, we had these seminars, all kinds of seminars, different characters, different comic books, different films. And here we were in the Napoleon Dynamite room. And I'm telling you, man, the place was packed, you know.
Just was there like standing room only and everything?
Yeah, and it was standing room only, man. And I didn't look outside, but there must have been people outside. It was packed. And the people came up and they asked questions, and the fans did. And then they showed a clip of the TV show. Everyone responded great to that. All of the actors were there. And it was, in a word, a big success. So we're finishing up what is called ADR, you know, where you're just throwing in this comment. You're throwing in a burp or a hi or a hello or a this or that, and that's what we're finishing up. And when that's done, the series is going to hit the air in January. And here are the actors that they have listed.
You there?
No, I'm not a regular on the series, you know. They should have all of the cast here. There's John Heder, and let's see, John Heder, Hilary Duff, John Grice, Aaron Rule, and Efren Ramirez. Now, I don't see Sandy or any of the other guys here. So, you know. But Hilary Duff. Now, is she like a regular or something?
Well, yeah. In a movie once she was.
Did you meet Hilary Duff?
Yeah, I met Hilary Duff. I met her in the first two episodes. You know.
You meet a lot of people on that show, don't you?
No, well, not on that show. I met a lot of people when I did King of the Hill. But when I was over there doing I told you I was doing ADR 2 weeks ago over there, and Danny DeVito was there, and, you know, I saw this man, it's Danny DeVito, and he had this entourage of people, and then I saw him saying, hey, he's talking to somebody. It was that Heidi face. What's her name?
I don't know, that model?
Yeah, that Heidi Runway is the show,
Heidi Glum.
Not Heidi Glum, Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum, yeah, thanks, Dan. Heidi Klum. And when I heard him saying, hey, he's talking to her, I thought maybe it was somebody else, but it was Heidi Klum. And everybody asked me, do I know who she is? I said, no. And
yeah, you were kidding, right?
No, I didn't really, not really. But then, whatever, you know, these pockets of fans. All right, so anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour, officially News and Information Hour. We had a wild night tonight, very, very weird tonight, especially talking about Santa Claus. And, you know, it's only going to get better, let me put it that way, as we get closer to Christmas. The whole, every year it's the same thing. Is there a Santa Claus? Isn't there a Santa Claus? Then there's going to be, I'm sure Bobby Dooley will check in on the lights thing. Every year, the issues surrounding Christmas, the same. Have we yet had it? I'm waiting for it.
What?
I'm waiting for it. When's it going to happen?
You talking about like a Christmas tree?
No, I'm talking about when are we going to hear from the atheists getting upset because there was a damn whatever, a manger scene someplace.
Yeah, they'll probably be pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Pretty soon. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Come on, baby. Come on out of the woodwork. Come on. Try and screw up everybody's Christmas with your horse dung. Go ahead. Next thing you know, I mean, I am surprised you guys have, like I said, are you really atheists or are you just anti-Christian? That's the big question. That's what you ought to ask any atheist that you meet. Now, I'm not a big Bible thumper. That's not my thing. But I am anti-bullcrap, see? I'm anti-bullcrap. I'm really anti-bullcrap. So, in other words, what that means is this. Well, most people will say to you, oh, you're anti-bullcrap, so you don't buy into religion. No, I don't buy into atheism. I think that's the larger pile of bullcrap from religion. Because, as I've said many times on the show, it's more natural for humans to believe in spiritual things than it isn't. It's in our DNA. It goes back 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 years. The first human evolved 200,000 years ago. The first human beings, first Homo sapiens. Now, yes, the creatures that we came from, the so-called hominid family, goes back, what, 2-3 million years? I don't know. But the first Homo sapien...
You said homo.
Are you going to start with that?
No, man, you're not talking about a homo. You're talking about Homo sapien.
That's different.
Yeah, I know it's different. No kidding? You, every time I do that, bud, you're in, well, you said homo.
You did.
Okay. I'm not saying homo as in homo. I'm saying Homo sapien. God.
Well, you got to be careful because there'll be think that it's homo bashing or not homo bashing, but...
Homo bashing. Boy, you're good, man.
Gay blade.
Gay blade.
Gay blade bashing.
Gay blade bashing. What an idiot, man. Look at you, man. You're all, you don't even know what you're saying. So anyway, when the Homo sapien first came down the pike, because you had all these other apes, you had Homo erectus. Go ahead, make a joke out of that, bud.
No,
you're not going to make a joke out of that. You had Homo. You had Cro-Magnon. The Neanderthal, which coexisted with humans for thousands of years and were eventually run out of existence because the human was far superior at hunting, far superior at basically managing resources, and the Neanderthal just got left in the dust. Neanderthals died out. I suppose if we were modern people and we had Neanderthals, somebody somewhere would say something like, oh, you lousy genocidal bastards! You killed the Neanderthals!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We wouldn't have Neanderthals now. Neanderthals, it's a damn good thing that we're all cool, right? Right now, so you know how bitching we are? That we live now? Because, I swear to God, you know, those people that lived back then were real pieces of crap, those humans back then. They're making everybody extinct. They're running the Neanderthals off the face of the earth. They're hogging all the good land. They're hogging all the good game. They're going out and they're... Well, those humans back then were nowhere near as cool as we are. They ran the Neanderthals right out of existence. So, along comes the humans. And Neanderthals, by the way, had some form of religious or spiritual belief, because even Neanderthals, even those... relatively intelligent beings. They were, you know, they communicated as we did. They were not as tall. They were a little more substantial. They were shorter but broader. The skulls were a little bit bigger. Their brains were actually bigger. But Neanderthals did not have the inventiveness that humans had. They did not know how to, for instance, create fish hooks. So Neanderthals did not exploit water. They didn't fish. They didn't know anything really about stitching clothing. They wore a lot of animal skins, but couldn't... So they didn't quite have it together. But they did bury their dead, and they buried their dead with some of the dead person's favorite belongings. So that shows a sort of a belief in some kind of an afterlife or some spiritual order. So do you understand, folks, that we're talking about a belief... We're talking about something that is in the human DNA and even in the Neanderthal. And by the way, humans, according to the most recent studies, humans, now I'm trying to think of what it is, we share something like 4% of our DNA with Neanderthals.
Well, that means a Neanderthal...
Yeah, like a caveman had got it on with a human.
Yeah, probably the Neanderthal raped a human lady or something.
Why would you say something like that, bud?
Neanderthals were all cavemen and stuff.
Why does it have to be the Neanderthals raped the human? Maybe the human raped the Neanderthal. Do you ever think of that?
Why would they do that, man? Neanderthal all caveman and all aped out and everything.
Yeah, the Neanderthal's fully aped.
What do you mean Neanderthals are fully aped? Neanderthal, in any event, I don't know But that was the most recent. So we do have a little bit of Neanderthal DNA in all of us. There's a little bit of caveman in all of us. And having said that, we have, going back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, a DNA that is as old as the Neanderthal and the old humans, that definitely informs us as to a spirit world, because that's what those people believed. So I think that it's a little, I don't believe anybody when they tell me, I don't believe in God. No, I don't believe, you may intellectually, you like to, you know, amaze your friends with that kind of conversation, and I'm sure that it sounds really nice at a party, and but it you can't unwire your brain that fast. You have to have another tens of thousands of years unwiring your head. Now, there are people, and I've had this conversation, that's saying, you know, Phil, you've heard of the Great Leap Forward. And there was, 50,000 years ago, humans took what is called the Great Leap Forward. We don't yet know why it took place, but suddenly, 50,000 years ago, art began to spring up on cave walls. And humans began to conceptualize symbol and symbols. And this is beyond just hunting and gathering and being a monkey and going around and, you know, eating and burping and farting and having babies. This is suddenly, this is going outside of oneself and seeing the world objectively and also subjectively. And so this is a big thing, the Great Leap Forward. And some people have said to me, well, how do you know not another Great Leap Forward is taking place? What's that? We all of a sudden we're not, like, not tuned into God anymore. Yeah, cool, except I would think that that would take place among the most intelligent of us, and that's who I am, and I haven't yet caught on to that, so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably said, no, you're not.
Well, the guy that I was talking to, of the two of us, yes, I was the more intelligent. Okay, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous, well, I am, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, here in our News and Information Hour, as, what the hell were we talking about, apes? I don't know, we got into some ape talk there, man. We'll be back.
Truth.
We'll tie it all together,
bitch. Man. The Phil Hendry Show.
Compressed air.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's called the Indo-European language, okay?
What are you talking about? Do you talk the same talk?
We have the same word and everything.
What we have, what, now listen to me. There was at one time a common language, Indo-European. When I say Indo-European, I'm talking about India, European, and the connection between India, the connection between Europe, the Aryan people, which we always think of as blonde and blue-eyed, and we forget that the Aryan people are of India as well. India was settled by Aryans from Europe.
But now they got tans.
Now they have tans. Now they have deep, rich tans, yes. Now, at one time, we had one language. The Indo-European language is the father, mother language of all languages. We all spoke the same language. Or we had the same symbols. And at some point, that language broke apart. Now, we are all familiar with the biblical story of the Tower of Babel.
That's probably what happened, right?
Well, if you'll forgive my heresy, I'm not saying that I don't, you know, I'm saying that that's the Bible's way of explaining the Tower of Babel, that all people were one, and suddenly we all started talking different languages, and that signified what a bunch of, you know, slobs we became. You know, there's different kind of mythologies for it. You know, I've often heard, you guys, you know, you don't know who Alan Watts is, do you?
Yeah, I know Alan Watts played basketball.
No, he didn't play basketball. He's a philosopher. Alan Watts said that the human clock starts at 12, and the further away from 12 we get, the more split we became. We suddenly became tribes. Then we became nation states. Then we became nations. And then we became more and more split apart from each other until then we became individuals. And now he says we are sitting at 6 o'clock. In other words, we've come 6 hours, and the hand is pointing straight down, and we are at a point in our evolution where we are split within ourselves. We have profound psychological questioning. And that's kind of, there's a split inside of all of us, you know.
That sounds pretty hippie, though.
It may be hippie, but what he is saying is the good news is the hand is now swinging back up the clock toward the 12 again, and that means that we're beginning to integrate. We're reintegrating. We're getting it together a little bit. We're starting to get together an understanding. And finally, when you hit 12, you are fully integrated with God. That is the Alan Watts' philosophy that you become. You return to God, you know.
You're dead.
No, you're not dead. I mean, you're I'm talking about culture, people, humans, you know. I don't know. But the point that I'm making here is, at one time, we did have a common language. That much is a fact. That is scientific as far as it can be. You see, science is a beautiful thing. Science does not say, oh, wait a minute, I can't believe that because I'm a Christian. That's not science. You don't, as a scientist, you don't say, oh, throw that out because I'm not allowed to believe that. You don't do that. As a scientist, you're all about truth. And the way you find that truth, as we've often said on the show, the empirical method being, you first disprove it. So in order to prove that there was at one time this Indo-European language, you got to go out and disprove it. You have to find ways to disprove that that ever happened. That's the most honest way of going about your scientific research.
Yeah, so what? So then we had that, and then we had a bunch of languages. What happened?
Somewhere along the line, all the languages started to split up. It was geographic in nature, and most of it's geographic because, you know, if my tribe is talking the same language as you, and then suddenly my tribe goes over those mountains over there, and now I'm gone, right? And now I'm just talking to my people. Well, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, the languages are going to be similar, but things are going to start to change. That's what happened, for instance, in the Germanic languages. They're like English, but they're different because our people went over the mountain and across a stream and...
What is it going over a mountain across a stream? What's that got to do with it?
I'm talking about moving someplace else, man. So you're not talking to people the same way. You're not talking to the same people. So languages change that way. Most of the reason why everything is as different as it is because of geography. A lot of people don't want to believe that. A lot of people want to say, well, there's violence because white people are violent, and the Indians are peaceful, and the African people believed in these really groovy religions, and the Chinese are Buddhist. And we want to believe that one race is, you know, we like to say we're not racist, but really, you know, all of us hold to these racist views where look at how violent whites are, and look at how dumb blacks are, and look at how, you know, but the reason why everybody's so different, the reason why with so much, you know, weaponry in Europe is because it came about, we needed it. It just happened to be the geography. It happened to be the number of people who were over there, the geography, the fact there were a lot of tribes, and we had to fight. African people didn't grow up with the same thing because African people had a completely different environment, didn't need all of that weaponry. Same thing with Native Americans. Chinese did. Who do you think developed gunpowder?
China.
Chinese. Why? Probably because they, you know...
They needed fireworks.
Exactly. They needed fireworks. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why they did it.
Yeah, it is, man. All they did was firework.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, what exactly does your society need when suddenly you're inventing fireworks? You know, I thought they said that necessity is the mother of invention. I've got to have fireworks. I must have a Roman candle. What did they need?
They had to party.
They just had to party. Okay. Thank you, bud. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back here on the Republicans and Rick Perry. Rick Perry's still running for president. You ready for that?
Phil. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Not that I want to keep going with this, but I just found a online here because I was talking to Dan about the genealogy project that was on National Geographic. He was watching it, and this is what I was telling people about. I said, I want to get involved in this. This is where they were taking swabs of saliva from people and sending it into their lab and tracking from the DNA they got from the individuals, people all over the world, you know.
What do you mean swab of saliva?
They stick a thing in your mouth and take out the spit.
Right, pretty much. And there's DNA in there, and they checked all of this DNA, and they tracked individual peoples, and they went to these people on the TV show, and they said, here, this is where your ancestors And it showed that person's sort of DNA highway, if you will, the migration highway of his ancestors that went back to Europe. And then in some cases, it'll go to Europe, and then it'll go to Asia, and then come back to Europe, and then back to Asia, until finally wound all the way down to East Africa, which is the origin of all Homo sapiens, Eastern Africa.
Are you kidding? Well, I thought that we were from Europe and stuff.
We are from Europe in the most recent, but originally all humans now, Homo sapiens, from East Africa. Now, this genographic project kit is available at the National Geographic store. I'm not getting any money for this. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you. If you want to do this, I probably would do it too.
Yeah, you don't know what they're making up or something. They'll probably send back something. Oh, yeah, you come from like a...
Yeah, they'll probably say you come from some Egyptian pharaoh or something.
Jeez, you guys are really suspicious. Yeah, that's right. National Geographic, one of the most respected names in all of,
Naked black people.
In all of naked black people. What do you mean naked? Get out of here. And you guys think they're running a con. Boy, oh boy, what cynics.
Well,
National Geographic. We had it in all the schools. We had it in our home. It was the one piece of literature that every home had that was remotely educational. And they have this marvelous genographic kit and this project, and you guys think they're running some street-side scam. Three-card Monty.
Never know. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. It's $99.95. I'm going to do it. I'll let you know how it was. I'll let you know if I get conned, okay?
Yeah, you got to do it first before. I'm going to put some money in that.
Yeah, look, you guys got to quit being so cynical, okay? Genographic Project Participation Kit for U.S. and Canada. $99. Whew. Add to cart. Anyway, you send your spit in, and they tell you what planet you come from.
When you find out you come from Mars.
That'd be fantastic if I come from Mars. Gingrich surges ahead in Republican race, NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Man, I never would have believed this in a million years. Newt Gingrich is the main man with the master plan. He's the man now. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has taken a commanding lead in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, hitting the 40% mark for the first time in the campaign. What do you think killed Romney? I can't figure that out. Too slick? Not too Mormon? I know what it was. It was the fact that he had that health plan. The Republicans, just like the Democrats, only in differing ways, the Republicans are getting murdered by the extreme members of their party. Democrats, the same thing. All those activist, progressive jackballs that rallied to the aid of Obama when he needed it, and, you know, God bless him. And then he becomes president, and then he realizes that being president is more than just blowing up balloons and singing Obama's gonna lead us. And he does stuff that they don't dig, and so they start making problems because, you know, he's not cool like they thought he was. And the same thing goes for these Republicans. They want to get some guy in there, these really activist right-wingers want to get some guy in there who's a... I don't know, man. Some cat who is just right down the line, man. No, no health care, no this, no that, no this, no that, no this. So, all right, so they do. And the guy doesn't get elected because that's not the direction the country's going in. Oh, yeah, I know. They run the House of Representatives. Whoop. Or whatever they run. I know that they got that nailed. But what do you think has been done here, man? I mean, the country right now, and this is why I think Gingrich probably is a maybe he's the good choice, because Gingrich is not so extreme as a lot of people think he is. But he still is ideologically acceptable to most people. So here he is. He's the first choice of 40% of Republican primary voters, compared with 23% support for Mitt Romney. But the survey also found deep unease with the Republicans' front runner among independents and swing voters who normally decide presidential elections. In a hypothetical contest with President Obama, Gingrich trails the Democratic incumbent by more than 10 percentage points, 40 to 51%, while Obama leads Romney by 2 percentage points. That's it right there. That's it. That's the image thing.
What?
Gingrich gives people the creeps. He gives a lot of people the creeps. Not a lot, you know, not enough whereby he's not a front runner. He gives those independents, which are not the extreme in either party, they're not the dyed-in-the-wool ideologues. he gives them the creeps because they identify him as pretty much, you know, a Southern right winger. And I say that with, I don't mean any, you know, but he's from Georgia, and I don't know, there's just certain prejudices, you know. According to the poll, a majority of Republican primary voters, 51%, view the field of candidates competing to challenge Obama in the 2012 race as average. And that's just about it. Average, baby. Only 21% of respondents believe the Republican field is strong, and 27% say it's weak. The remaining Republican candidates polled below 10%, with Texas Representative Ron Paul at 9%, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann at 8%, Texas Governor Rick Perry at 6%, former Utah Governor John Huntsman at 5%, and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum at 3%. Boy, Perry, those debates didn't help him, obviously. And he was the man. And now he's trying to get a little heat by going anti-gay. Bad move, dude. Bad move. Nobody cares anymore. I mean, people don't want to go. It's just, forget it. The poll of 1,000 people, and it's funny how far the country's come. Just 10 years ago, here in the state of California, was that defensive marriage bullcrap, whatever that thing was. And now, 10 years later, the whole country is on the opposite side of that issue. The poll of 1,000 people was conducted December the 7th through the 11th, has an overall margin of 3.1%. What do you think?
I don't know.
Neither do I. But I wouldn't vote for Gingrich, and that's just me. I'm not trying to say that I know what I'm doing. I'm a voter. That means that I am what I am, you know? But I wouldn't vote for the guy. Number one, he's not going to win. And just as this poll indicated, Romney's got a better shot at beating Obama, if that's what you want to do. But you know what? I don't hear anybody coming up with anything better on the Republican side of things in terms of moving the country forward. See, here's the thing. Yes, we can cut all kinds of taxes. Yes, we can do that, quit the spending, everything. Now, the world out there continues to turn. The most latest and most recent piece of information, there's the Chinese out there running the Pacific Ocean. You know, that used to be our ocean. Now the Chinese, they got a military and a navy that kicks ass. And they are going to be saying here in the next 20 years, thank you very much, it's been nice seeing you out here, America, but guess what? We're going to run the old Pacific pond for a while. You just go ahead and back it up to Hawaii, Jack. Is that cool with you? If that's cool with you, maybe it's time for America, like Britain, to downsize a little bit in terms of our international posture, in terms of our international profile. Maybe it's time for the Chinese and the Russians, the BRIC countries, you know, Brazil and what's R?
I forget.
Rhodesia. And anyway, Russia, India, China. It's time for those countries to rule the roost. We got too much to, you know, there's too many bills to pay. So you can't pay all those bills and cut all those taxes and then tell me, which is what the Republicans are going to do, because I know it, because they've done it, and then tell me, but we're going to compete in the Pacific with the Russians. We can't let them outstrip us in terms of the name. Wait a second.
Oh, man, they say they're going to build more stay abreast of the Chinese.
Exactly. Don't tell me about how we can't spend any more money on this, that. We haven't got the money. We're broke. I know it's going to happen. Obama's saying it. You don't think the Republicans are going to let him get away with it, do you? Obama is saying everything that we got going on the table right now, I can assure you, it's not going to affect what's happening in the Pacific. We're not going to let the Chinese get away with that. We have a presence out there. That's our baby. And you can kiss my ass on Main Street at high noon. What do you think of that? The Pacific, the United States geopolitically has influence in the Pacific, bought and paid for with the blood of God knows how many thousands of Americans. Now the Chinese are going to say to us, you know, you guys are broke. You're flat on your ass. You can't do anything. Back it up to Hawaii. We're taking over. Now, doesn't make any difference to me, you understand? Because we can always enter into global alliances with, you know, all kinds of people to offset the Chinese. However, I'm not going to hear that from Republicans. I know that. They're not going to tell me that. They're going to say the following thing. We're not going to let the Chinese get away with it. We're going to spend money. Oh, spend money on what? I thought we didn't have any. See, we ain't got any money, man, until it has to do, so the, along comes some project that somebody likes, you know.
Yeah, well, they like, had a, what do you call, healthcare and everything. Who? Democrats.
Yeah, I know.
So old Republicans going to have defense.
Well, but the whole thing of it is what I'm saying is we don't have the money. We don't have the money. Everybody's got their pet project. They say we haven't got any money, but then they come along, their pet project, and the Republicans are not going to let Obama, who already is kicking their ass when it comes to the national security question by virtue of the fact that he killed Osama bin Laden. That's pretty heavy. You can't start talking about how Obama doesn't know this, that, or anything else. He went out, he got this guy bin Laden when everybody else was running around with their thumb parked up their ass. So now comes Obama saying, and by the way, the Chinese are not going to muscle us out of the Pacific. We've got, we're going to keep on keeping on out there. And what are the Republicans going to say to that? No, we can't afford that. That's like a total about face. It's going to be very interesting, man. It's going to be very interesting. All right, we're going to come back. Where's that Rick Perry story?
Right here.
Yeah, I want to see this thing, man. And a couple of other stories we have for you here this evening on this Tuesday night. It's now Wednesday morning. It's garbage day. Take that trash out, bud.
Okay.
Don't grab my shirt. That's not funny. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry. Don't grab him either.
I'm up the trash.
Truth.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show.
Just a reminder there on Phil TV and HD, that is the map.
That's what a serial killer is.
Yes, that's where the serial killer has the dumping ground anyway. Jones Beach, Long Island. And anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Each and every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And very gratefully yours, me, Phil Henry. So we were looking there at the, what is it, bud?
Aren't you going to huff it?
No, I'm not going to huff it. Are you an idiot or something?
No, I wouldn't think you're going to huff it.
Because it'd be interesting to do for, like,
spit it out. Go ahead.
For research.
I ain't huffing duster, okay? I got a can here of blow-off.
Yeah, I'll bet it's blow-off.
This is It's blow-off. Every studio needs it, and my studio has blow-off. It's a duster, but no, I'm not going to huff it. You must be out of your mind. That's deadly. And it causes the most serious of injuries. And there are kids that have got no brain left. There's adults that got no brain left. That and paint. Can you believe there's people huffing that crap? Glade, you name it.
Gotta be desperate to get high.
Don't tell me you ain't tried it before. I know you have. I know you have. So don't give me that crap.
I ain't done that in a long time.
Fine. Just don't be talking like you don't... That's the stupidest thing you could do. If I ever catch you doing it while you're working for me, I won't just fire you. I'll kick your ass. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know that if I ever catch you doing that, you won't just be fired. I'll beat your ass, and then I'll leave you out there in the street.
Fine.
You're okay with that?
Well, no, I'm not going to do it.
Good. I'm sorry to have to talk to you like that, bud, but that's how strongly I feel about that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to do it.
Good, good. U.S. Safety Board urges cell phone ban for... I'm just kidding. I will. U.S. Safety Board urges cell phone ban for drivers. Get a load of that, man. You think they'll push that one through? A cell phone ban for drivers. How will we ever live? How will we ever get along without our cell phones? How? I don't know. Stop driving. A federal agency on Tuesday called... I don't give a damn whether I use that damn cell phone on the road. I'm using that cell phone all the time. Do I have to have it on in the car? I don't care. There's only one time I will use the cell phone in the car that I see a real need for the cell phone in the car, and that's if I'm going to be late for a meeting. Do you remember the days? I don't know if you guys remember the days. You had to stop and find a payphone. Oh, God, I got to stop and find a phone. I got to stop and find a payphone because I got to call because I'm going to be late.
Well, the idea is not to be late.
Well, that's true. That is a very good point. So we made that adjustment. I would make that adjustment. Well, look at it. I don't want to have to stop and find a payphone and call someone to tell them that I'm going to be late. I got a great idea. I'm not going to be late. A federal agency on Tuesday called for a ban on all cell phone use by drivers, the most far-reaching recommendation to date. such recommendation to date, saying its decision was based on a decade of investigation into distraction-related accidents, as well as growing concerns that powerful mobile devices are giving drivers even more reasons to look away from the road. Listen to this, folks. This is a federal agency called the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB. Hello. Those are the people that go in and investigate airliner accidents. When a plane crashes, that's the NTSB. That ain't the FAA. FAA's done, man. As part of its recommendations, the NTSB is urging states to ban drivers from using hands-free devices. Ban you from using hands-free devices, including wireless headsets. No state now outlaws such activity, but the board said that drivers face serious risks from talking on wireless headsets just as they do by taking a hand off the wheel to hold a phone to their ear. This is the NTSB recommending this. Now, how long do you think it'll be before Congress passes a federal, in other words, on federal highway, on interstates? And Deborah Hirschman, chairwoman of the NTSB, an independent federal agency responsible for promoting traffic safety and investigating accidents, said the concern was heightened by increasingly powerful phones that people can use to email, watch movies, and play games. Now, anybody that is playing games or emailing or what is a mental midget if they're using that while they're driving. You're a mental midget. I don't give a damn if people think they're really good at it. You ever meet these people?
Yeah, my uncle thinks, hey, I know how to text and drive. That's for stupid people, not me.
Uh-huh. Famous last words. That'll be the last thing that guy's saying as his head goes through a windshield one night. Yeah, I can text while uh-oh. You know, there's a gasoline tanker. Hello, Jane Mansfield.
She lost her head, man.
No, she didn't lose her head. It was her wig.
Yes, she did. Everybody said that's her head.
It wasn't her head. I know everyone said it was. It wasn't. It was the poor girl's wig. As if dying wasn't bad enough, they got to have Jane Mansfield's head rolling around out there. It wasn't a head. The agency based its recommendations on evidence from its investigation of numerous crashes in which electronic distraction was a major contributing factor. Ms. Hirschman said she understood that this recommendation would be unwelcome in some circles, given the number of drivers who talk and text, but she compared distracted driving to drunken driving and even smoking, which required wholesale cultural shifts to change behavior. So what they're saying here, folks, is they're getting us ready. They're getting for a federal law. Now, you understand that federal laws do have supremacy, but only on federal interstates, I believe. Only on, in other words, the U.S. interstate system. I don't think on a street. Well, if they say while driving anywhere, then while driving anywhere. So they're getting us ready for something that's it won't quite be like giving up cigarettes in bars, but it's going to be it'll be heavy because everybody's getting used to the fact that when they're driving, they're talking on that damn phone. Blah 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 blah, man. Anyway, it's going to be unpopular with some people. We're not here to win a popularity contest. We're here to do the right thing. This is a difficult recommendation, but it's the right recommendation, and it's time. The agency's recommendation is non-binding, meaning that states are not required to adopt such a ban, and it will likely be frowned upon by state lawmakers who are loath to infuriate constituents who have grown accustomed to use their... Well, so why not pass it as a federal law and make it effective on interstates? I don't know. There you have it, sports fans. The Phil Hendry Show for this Tuesday. Stay tuned for our... If you go to our website, we'll have our show log, and of course, the daily Bobby blog, Bobby Dooley's blog, will be up at our website too, philhendryshow.com. Until tonight, this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Grazie. Woohoo! Hendry.